said. He was making the salad, which was his usual job at dinner. He braced the metal cabinet with his hand automatically before jerking open the sticky door to get the mustard. Then, forgetting, he raised straight up and hit his head on a slanting rafter. God's teeth! Oh, darling, said Alicia absently, checking her steak and kidney pie in the oven of the baby belling. She wore pale blue narrow slacks, made like blue jeans but with a V-slit in the cuffs. Her shirt was of blue denim, the real McCoy, sent by an American friend. She wore her streaky blonde hair carelessly, and it hung almost to her shoulders. Her face was slender, well-bred, and pretty, her eyes wide-set and blue-grey. A smudge of darker blue paint streaked half across her left thigh, still there after many washings. Alicia painted in an upstairs back room of the house. "Tomorrow, though, I probably will," Alicia said, still going on about Mrs. Lilybanks. Sidney's mind was miles away, back on his afternoon with Alex in London. He resented the third intrusion of Mrs. Lilybanks. Why didn't Alicia ask him about his afternoon, about his work, the way any wife would have done? Sometimes she deliberately hung on to subjects that she knew bored him. Therefore, Sidney didn't answer now. "How was London?" Alicia asked finally, when they were seated at the table in the dining room. "Oh, the same. Still there," Sidney said with a forced smile. "Alex is just the same, too, meaning no new ideas."
"Oh, I thought you were hammering out one today."
Sidney sighed, vaguely irritated. Yet it was the only subject he wanted to talk about. "We were going to. I had an idea. It just didn't get off the ground." He shrugged. The third serial that he and Alex had doped out, mostly he had doped out, Alex simply wrote it in television form, had been rejected last week by the third and last possible purchaser in London. 3 or 4 weeks of sweat, at least 4 sessions in London with Alex, a complete detailed synopsis and installment 1 of 1 hour written, neatly bound and dispatched to 1, 2, 3 possible buyers. All that down the drain now, and add today also. 17 shillings for the day excursion fare from Ipswich to London. Add 8 hours' time at a certain amount of physical energy. Add the frustration of watching Alex's big dark face grow cloudy with thought and dense silence, followed by, "Ah, no, that won't do." And the result was a day that would make a man tear his hair out, throw his typewriter in the nearest creek, then jump in himself.
"How was Hitty?"
Hitty was Alex's wife, a blonde, quiet girl, totally absorbed in the care of their 3 small children. "As usual," Sidney said.
"Were you talking about your new idea? The one about the man on the tanker?"
Alicia asked. "No, darling. That was the one that just got rejected." How could she forget that? Sidney wondered, since she'd read the installment and the synopsis. "My new idea, I don't know if I mentioned it, was about the tattoo. The man who has a tattoo faked to resemble the tattoo of a man who's supposed to be dead." He hadn't the energy to launch into the complicated story. He and Alex had a sleuth hero named Nicky Campbell, a young fellow with an ordinary job and a girlfriend. And Nicky kept running into crime and solving mysteries and capturing crooks and winning fistfights and gunfights, and the stories kept not getting bought. But Alex was sure they would make it one day, and then they'd both be set. Alex had had 1 television script accepted 2 years ago, and since then had written 5 or 6 that hadn't been accepted. But they had been straight, hour-long dramas, and Alex was confident that what television needed now was a good serial. Fortunately for Alex, he had a steady job in a publishing house. Sidney had no job, and hadn't succeeded in placing his last novel, though he had had 2 novels published a few years ago in the States. As a reliable income, he had about $100 a month, which came in 4 times a year from some stocks an uncle in America had bequeathed him. On this, and on Alicia's more substantial £50 a month, they lived, buying oil paint and canvas, typewriter paper and ribbons and carbon paper, the tools of their trades that returned them so little. Alicia's income to date from painting was £5, though she didn't take painting so seriously as a money-making activity as Sidney did his writing. They bought nothing in the way of luxury items but liquor and cigarettes, though since these items were so costly in England, buying them at all seemed luxury to